Welcome to The Digital Brew,
a podcast about making your business more awesome online.
I'm Angela, a copywriter, here with my husband, Stu, a web designer.
It's time to pour yourself a cuppa and let's get started.
Well, hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Digital Brew. Today, we'll be providing some tips on how you can speed up your website. This will be super helpful for you if you manage one or more websites and you're feeling a bit overwhelmed about where to start. So today we're going to mainly focus on WordPress websites, but most of the ideas in this episode can be carried over to any kind of website. So the end goal when speed optimizing a website is to serve a performant website to your end users, and don't get bogged down in grades and scores. So I think it's going to be over to Stu now because he is the expert in this area and I'm going to be learning a lot today, hopefully, along with you.
You literally like ignored the next line. Disclaimer, I'm not an expert at optimizing websites.
Sure.
It's not something that I do all day, every day. However, it is an important part in the website building and maintaining process. So my aim here is just to share some tips that I've learned over the years. But let's get into it. So the first point, and it's a point that a lot of people come back to as, you know, an issue in the first place is hosting. So you're generally off to a bad start if you choose a rubbish host. If you have a website that is important for your business, then I'd probably suggest to stay away from shared hosting. Shared hosts, they normally put multiple users on one server and they share all the resources between those websites. Now, I'm not saying that all shared hosting is the worst. I just don't think there's really any reason to choose it over cloud hosting these days, because cloud hosting is so affordable and in some cases it's more affordable than shared hosting. And you also know exactly what you're getting for your money because they, you know, set aside specific, you know, exact resources. So you know what you're paying for in terms of the resources from the server.
So how does somebody know if they've got shared or cloud hosting?
It'll probably tell you on the website where you've bought your hosting from. It'll tell you whether it's a shared hosting plan or not.
Okay.
Or it'll tell you whether it's cloud hosting.
Quick, go check.
Another big identifier, and it's not the main thing, is a lot of shared hosts use cPanel, although that's becoming less and less because of the pricing changes that cPanel brought in a while ago. But, you know, you can still get like a VPS and install cPanel on it, so that's not a big indicator. But you'd probably know if you set up your own hosting.
Okay.
Cloud hosting can be complicated if you go directly to the provider. So if you go, you know, straight to DigitalOcean, Amazon, AWS, Vulture, and you sign up for an account, it can be quite complicated setting up. Like they do have one-click installs or whatever for WordPress and stuff, but it's still like maintaining it from that point can be a bit tricky. However, there are services like Cloudways that make it easy, really easy to spin up a server from one of these providers. You just basically choose who you want to go with, you know, Vulture or Google Cloud. And then they spin up their stack on top of that and they give you a nice control panel to work with from that VPS.
And is that quite beginner friendly? Like you don't need to be super tech to do that?
Cloudways is. Okay. There are a few others out there that aren't so much. But Cloudways is very beginner friendly.
Okay, so they'll walk you through the process, not too scary.
Yeah, the support isn't too bad. It's, you know, not great, but it's not too bad.
Cool.
But they've set things up in a way where the user interface is, you know, things are easy to find and they have a lot of documentation too.
Okay.
Yeah. So the other option is managed WordPress hosting, and that's built specifically for WordPress. So it's often built on, you know, quality cloud hosting like Google Cloud, which Kinsta use. They're a big managed WordPress host. And also Amazon Web Services, who WP Engine use. You've probably heard of them. They're another big managed WordPress host. It's typically more expensive to go with a managed host, but you don't just get, you know, a quality host with them. You also get a stack that is specific to WordPress. They've, you know, probably built it from the ground up for WordPress. You also get security from them. And some of them, even if your website gets hacked, they'll even clean it up as a part of your monthly price. You don't have to pay anything extra. They have their own backup systems, which are normally pretty solid. They provide WordPress specific support sometimes. Like, you know, if you're having an issue with a specific plugin, they may actually help you with that plugin just because, you know, all they do is WordPress and they know about lots of WordPress things. They also have their own caching, which again, they've probably built from the ground up specific to their stack that they've built. And they also take care of your WordPress updates, so updating WordPress and plugins and themes. So they do a lot of stuff, which is why you're paying that premium price tag. So server-side caching also has a big impact on your site speed, and this can come down to the host that you choose, whether they have it and what type of caching they use.
Can you just explain server-side caching for a sec?
Well, okay, so caching is basically serving your website as more of a static file. So instead of having to call the database to get all the information, it'll try and serve it statically. So a server-side cache will, you know, it will cache the content of the website and then serve it directly from the cache instead of having to dynamically grab that content. So the way, yeah.
So it helps things happen a bit faster.
We're going to get more into that later. So let's just...
Okay, sorry.
I was just saying that, you know, if you're looking for a host, look at maybe their caching solution and what people have to say about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Also looking for a server close to your visitor's location. So if you have visitors coming from, say, China, you probably want the server to be in China. You don't want it to be in the US. So you need to make sure that the host that you choose allows you to choose a data center with hopefully a server in your location or very close to your location.
So what if you have visitors from around the world then?
We'll get into that later too, but that's where a CDN comes in.
Okay, sorry.
That's all good. okay, so also PHP version. So with each PHP version update normally comes a speed increase. So the most notable increase was from 5.6 to 7.0. There was no version 6 PHP. I don't know what happened there.
Oh, dear.
But that was sort of people went from 5.6 to 7 and there was a massive speed increase. So you do want to make sure that the host you choose offers the latest PHP versions or at least an upgrade path to them. Don't get stuck on a host that, you know, is stuck on some old version and refuses to upgrade. Okay. So that whole section was about hosting. A little bit confusing, but I hope...
Just a little bit. That was cool. A lot of smiling and nodding happening here.
If you have any questions, comment on the post on our website and I will try and answer them. Okay, so the next section to look at WordPress speed is themes. So make sure you're choosing a lightweight but flexible theme. So don't fall into the theme forest trap of using a theme that offers you the whole world while slowing down your website at the same time. A lot of them, you know, you look at the previews and it does all these amazing flash bang whizzy cool things. But they're also loading in, you know, 50 JavaScript libraries, which you're probably not going to use. So look for a theme that is lighter and allows you to, you know, customize and only add on things that you need to add on. A theme that I highly recommend and almost exclusively use is GeneratePress. It may not look like much, but it can be really powerful. And their support is fantastic. They go above and beyond to help out their customers. Okay, plugins. So plugins are really amazing, and it's one of the reasons WordPress is so popular. But it's also tempting to use a plugin to solve every tiny little problem that you come along. So before you fall back on using a plugin, see if there's a better way to do something. You know, I've seen people using a plugin to solve a problem that they could have used just one line of CSS to solve. So, but when you are looking for plugins, just test them first to see how they do impact your website. Use a plugin. There's a plugin called Query Monitor, which you can use. So if you install Query Monitor, I know another plugin, but you would only install it when you're using it. but install Query Monitor, and then you can see what JavaScript and CSS assets are loading. You can see the overall size of the page, the memory usage, and the database queries. So what you can do is you can look at your website before you add a plugin, then add the plugin, and then look at the stats after you add the plugin, and you can see what sort of effect the plugin is having on your website. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that was very logical.
Okay, good. Okay, GT Metrics. So you may have heard of GT Metrics. It's a speed testing tool. So you can put your URL of your website in there and it will pump out a whole bunch of information about your website, how fast it loads, what's loading, you know, different things like that. While I'm on this topic, sign up for an account with GT Metrics. It's free, and then you can test your website from multiple server locations. If you're just not signed in, it will only test from Canada, and the amount of people that only test from Canada baffles me. So, you know, create an account, then you can test from like Australia, for example. So when you do test your website, look at the recommendations under the page speed and the Y slow tabs. So if you're not sure what the recommendations mean, just, you know, Google them. People have asked probably the question a million times. Ask around, ask people who are knowledgeable in the area on, you know, forums and stuff. So you can find out which ones are the most important and then how you can actually go about fixing them. Also have a look at the waterfall tab. This is where you can see what is loading and how long they take to load. So this will show you specifically what is holding up your website from loading, so you can actually get to the root cause. So you might see one thing that for some reason is taking 3 seconds to load, and that's what's holding up your website. So you can investigate that, find out why it's causing, you know, your website to load so slowly, and hopefully resolve it, either get rid of it or find out what's causing the problem.
It's usually that I've added an image that's not optimized, isn't it? It's usually my fault.
No. This is it's more to do with, like, you know, calling external stuff.
Okay. Oh, I don't do that. That's your fault.
Well, you're like, Stuart, add Hotjar to my website. Okay. Or add this other thing. Okay. All of a sudden you've got all these queries being loaded in. Anyway.
These things have consequences, people.
Okay. I think. Oh, and also, yeah, don't take the grades, because it'll pump out grades, you know, between A and F. Don't take them as gospel. I've seen, you know, just aim for a fast website, a website that loads preferably under 3 seconds, although that can change. You know, test your website a few times from a few different places. But I've seen, you know, websites that score an A being loaded in 10 seconds, and I've seen websites that score an F that load in 1.5 seconds. So, you know, those grades don't mean everything. All right, image optimization. GT Metrics, they'll also help you find which images need optimizing, because they'll detect the size of the image and the container that they're loading in, and they'll tell you whether the image is, you know, much bigger than the container. It's pretty straightforward, though. Just don't load a 1,000-pixel image in a 100-pixel space. Just make sure you resize it before uploading it. You can also compress it before you upload it, or if you're using a plugin to compress the images, then just make sure that's working too.
Something I do, which is probably totally a weird, janky way of doing it, is I open my image in Paint and I resize it.
Paint's great for resizing.
It takes me like a second.
I mean, I use Photoshop, but Paint is fantastic.
Photoshop takes like 10 seconds to load, so I just use Paint.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Is Paint still a thing? Like, I thought it was being phased out, but I seem to still have it.
It's not being phased out. Microsoft is going to make it an option, I think.
I will always take that option.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd get rid of Paint. Crazy. It's the greatest tool ever.
It is.
You should see those, like, I think that people do, like, speed drawings in Microsoft Paint. Like, so realistic. It's crazy.
So cool.
Anyway. Hey, asset removal. So every time you install a theme and a plugin, it can load unnecessary CSS and JavaScript files on pages where they're not even being used. It's crazy. GT Metrics will tell you where this is happening. Well, it won't tell you where this is happening, but, you know, it'll show you all of the assets that are being loaded so you can see whether they're necessary for that page. Just looking at the waterfall tab. So if you see an asset is being loaded on a page where it isn't being used, you can use a plugin like Asset Cleanup to stop your website from loading specific files on pages. So for example, one that a lot of people know about is Contact Form 7. They're very infamous for loading assets on every single page of the website, even if there like isn't a contact form on there. So, you know, some people will only have one contact form on their contact page, for example, but Contact Form 7 is loading the assets on every single page of the website. So what you can do is you can use the plugin and you can say, okay, only load these Contact Form 7 assets, you know, CSS files, JavaScript files on the contact page and don't load them anywhere else. So if you do that and you go through and you'll probably be able to remove a whole bunch of stuff, you'll see a big improvement in your site speed and also those grades, which you probably shouldn't be looking at too much.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Contact Form 7 is silly. They should be ashamed.
They should be ashamed of themselves. CDN. So this is what you asked about a little while ago. So if you do have visitors visiting from all around the globe, you should probably be using a CDN. So what it does, it serves copies of your website's assets from to many servers. So it sends them to many servers around the globe. And then when somebody visits your website from, you know, a country that's not where your server is located, it will serve those assets from the CDN server, which is closest to them.
What does CDN stand for?
Content Delivery Network.
Ooh, okay.
It's like a network of, you know, hundreds of servers around the world serving files to people in their closest location. Yeah. Hmm. Some hosting companies include a CDN. So, for example, Kinster does, WP Engine does. Cloudways has an add-on if you want to use it. Cloudflare, which is like a DNS management. It does a lot more stuff, but they also have a CDN included even in their free plan. Although it's, if you want their quality one, you have to go to their paid plan. But still, a free CDN is pretty great. But there's also like a million other CDN providers out there that you can just integrate into your WordPress website using a plugin or using your caching plugin or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Okay. And caching. Caching is a huge topic. I'm definitely not an expert in it. So don't ask me too many questions about it. but hopefully your host comes with good server-side caching. You can also use plugins like WP Rocket, which is a paid one, which includes page caching. But a lot of caching plugins don't only do caching. They also have other features like gzip compression. They can minify your CSS, JavaScript, and HTML files. They can lazy load images. They can optimize the database. They can do all sorts of cool things which are meant to improve your website's performance. So just make sure you test with caching plugins. Make sure you test all their fancy features on a staging environment, because if you tick the wrong box or something, it can completely break your website. So you want to make sure you test all the features and get the optimal setup before you move those changes over to your live website so it doesn't break everything.
I swear, anytime something breaks my website, it's a caching problem.
Yeah.
Can't live without it, but also...
9 times out of 10, it's a caching problem.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's time to wrap this up if you're still with us. Mm-hmm. It's pretty highly technical stuff, wasn't it, today?
I guess so. It's hard to do it
You explained it in good, like, everyday language, I think.
Okay.
Good for the everyday person. But also, a lot of everyday people will probably still be a bit confused.
I mean, to
They're
be honest,
like me.
I confuse myself in parts there. So if you do have questions, just comment and I'll see if I can answer them.
But I guess to wrap things up from what Stu is saying, just make sure you think of speed like from the very beginning of setting up your website and not as an afterthought when the build is already finished. And make sure you choose really wisely when it comes to your theme and plugins. Don't just go for what seems to be the easiest. You know, if it takes an extra 10 minutes of work with using something perhaps that's not a plugin, it can be worth it for the extra speed that you get. And you know, if your website is important to you, don't skimp on hosting. Don't go for the really cheap $3 per month shared hosting options. But yeah, you don't have to pay hundreds for really good hosting. Don't settle, but go for something quality that's still within your budget. And yeah, if you're stuck, ask for help. There's so many really lovely people in the WordPress community and they just love to help other people, and there's no harm in asking. And of course, if you work with a web designer, web developer, or you go with somebody who's hosting a website for you, they will take care of all these details and they will work to help make your website as fast as it possibly can be. So hopefully you won't have to really know about all of these details and all this tech stuff. Anything else you want to add, Stu?
I don't think so. I think that's cool. All good. Yeah, so the next episode is going to be about how to fit business around your kids.
Woohoo. We'll see you there.
Bye. Thanks for listening to The Digital Brew with Ange and Stu.
Make sure you head over to thedigitalbrew.com for more episodes, detailed show notes, resources, and our newsletter.
And if you feel like this episode has helped you make your business more awesome, pop us a review.
We'll catch you next time.